Everyone, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is by thy grace alone that we have assembled together and have opened our eyes to the beauty of a new day. O Lord, with the promise of thy presence with us as we have gathered in thy name, and O Lord, as we gather in thy name, may it really be impressed upon our hearts what that really means to do anything in thy name. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that our thoughts would be centered on thee, that thou, Lord Jesus, would open the windows of heaven and pour out thy blessings upon us, that thou, Lord Jesus, would speak to each of our hearts, that we, Lord, would be willing to submit unto the power of thine, of thy word, O Lord, and to feel the transformation that can take place in our submission unto thee. So abide thou with us and bless us as we have come together and as we read thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's reading, for this meditation this morning, let's turn and read with God's help out of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, I desire to read the first 14 verses. Любезно желаем да се прочита со Божјом помоћу из посланица Римљанима, 8 глава, први 14 бројева. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. May God. Dear ones, the prayer that we just offered unto our Lord, if we are sincere in the words that we pray together, we have victory. We prayed to God that God would give unto us the leading of his Holy Spirit. We become spiritual through the leading of his Holy Spirit. We also prayed that the things of this earth would be of no value to us. That means everything that you and I can see has zero value. It has no value. It's not eternal. It's temporary. We prayed that it would have no value. That means that we have put aside everything that would hinder in our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And we have become spiritual. We will walk by the Spirit. We will not serve the flesh. We will not be carnal. We will not be at enmity, opposition with God. So if that was our sincere prayer, we prayed it. We knelt, we prayed together as a body of believers with our friends. You prayed with us. And if that's our desire, we have victory. It's assured. But that requires something from me. For me not to have any value on the temporal things of this life, it requires that I would have this flesh, which is here, present, that it must be transformed because it's in the way. It cannot. It has to die. And the transformation takes place so that I am no longer carnal. I am now spiritual. I have to put aside the things, and not by my will. No. Not by will. Okay, I'm no longer going to have value on this. I'm going to get rid of it. No, that doesn't work at all. It's a dying to self. You say, well, how can I do that? It's with a look. It says, those that were bitten of the serpent in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the brazen serpent on the tree, and he said, look upon it, and you will be saved. It's looking at Jesus. It's going to the cross with Jesus, and with a look of absolute faith, trust in him, that we are willing not to say, okay, the things that I see, the things that I count on, the things that are very necessary to me, that I have to worry about, I have to focus on these things because they are life. It's how I live. Those things aren't nothing to me. I have faith in the one who gives me life. I have faith in the one who feeds me. I have the faith in the ones who gives the blood to course through every vein in my body to sustain life to the very flesh that I am trying to overcome. I have faith in him. I believe in Jesus. And looking on him, by faith you are saved, the Bible tells us. By faith we are saved, not by works. Why? Because you're going to boast. You're going to say, look what I did. I did better. He's not quite as good as me. I'm better. And pride. We read and heard a message on pride last Sunday. Naaman. His leprosy was his pride. It's his pride. He had to learn to submit. There is no healing of that deadly disease of leprosy without full submission unto the word of the prophet, which was the word of God. Full submission. 7 times go in the water of Jordan. 6 times gives you nothing. 7 times and you'll be healed. We see, we didn't read about it, but we also see what greed was in his servant, Gehazi. His leprosy was a leprosy of greed. Imagine, and we, you know, we might sometimes think, you know, the apostles who were called to serve, the disciples of Jesus, as they were called, they were able to see miracles and wonders that have to open up faith. Have to, when you see, okay, now I see, now I believe. And that's not true at all. That's just our reasoning of why we are not letting go of the things that are temporal that we prayed about, that God would give us the strength to let go of those things, to give us the faith to rely upon him and him alone. Look at the lilies of the field, he says. They toil not. He gives the flowers the scent. He gives the lilies. He gives them all their color, all their beauty. He gives them everything. He says, the sparrows that are flying around, you see them chirping and floating around, grabbing at crumbs wherever they fall. He says, I know every one of them. And not one falls unless I allow it to. He goes, and of how much more value are you? Of how much more value are you than a sparrow? That's who our God is. And we don't trust in him? Of course we're carnal then. Of course we're overwhelmed and overcome by our own thoughts, by our own way, by our... We display our anger, we display our disdain, our all those things that come from lack of faith in him. That's the actual problem with us, is when we fall into sin, it's not the sin, it's not the devil. He's going about. See, the problem is the devil is at enmity with us. And we don't recognize it. We trust him. We trust that the things that he displays, lays them all out for us. Here, partake, enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at what I've done, as the rich man said. I'm going to build the barns. I'm going to relax. I deserved it. Enjoy those things. The devil lays it all out here, and we believe him. And he's at odds with us. He hates us. God loves us, and we are at odds with him. That's what the flesh is. That's what the carnal mind is. That's what the carnal man is. That's what it means to be worldly. You focus on the things of the world. What is the world? Everything that is in opposition to God. Everything that is in opposition to God. We just heard, I don't know when it was, Sunday or Wednesday, imagine going to a seminar or a course about how you can go and just completely be selfless. Who's going to go there? We all want to go to a course how to be selfish, how we can amass, how we can do this, how we can become some great person, how we can do this and that. Oh, teach me, show me. Yeah, I want that. That's because we don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, yet we claim him. Gehazi saw the absolute miracles that his master Elisha, the prophet, was performing. He saw things that no man was able to see. He knew it came, that it was the power of God working in his master Elisha. He could have asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elisha, as Elisha had asked of the prophet, his master Elijah. He could have. But what did he do? Greed filled his heart. What? What? You're not going to leave that bounty that he's offering? And so he made a plan. He thought, I'm going to... He's offering. He has plenty. Naaman has. I don't have. I want what he has. There's envy. There's jealousy. There's all those things that spring up in our hearts when we're worldly and carnal. I want that. And so he goes after him and he asks him, hey, there's been a change of heart. Naaman, Elisha actually said he wants what you were offering. Oh, no problem. And he has him come back. The bounty was so huge, he has him bring all his servants, came, traveled with him until he comes near to the tower. Then he says, okay, leave it here. And he smuggles it all in. No evidence. No one knows. Here I am, Elisha, reporting for duty. Here I am. You know, as I read that this week, you think about how we can easily become a Gehazi. Maybe not in the sense of running after someone and give me, you know, lying about that, give me this. But, you know, our life through the week is filled with all kinds of challenges, all kinds of temptations, all kinds of sin, offerings of sin to us. To focus on the things that we see, the things that we prayed that we wouldn't fall prey to. We focus on those things that we see. So it's all before us. It's in front of us. It's there, there, there. Oh, I'll take this a little bit here. Focus on the carnal mind, that which is enmity against God, stands in absolute opposition to my Creator. And then, when I go to pray, when I come to church, here I am reporting for duty, as if nothing ever happened. We can be Gehazis. We look at Gehazi and marvel, how could he have? How could he have? He saw what Elisha was doing by the power of God, and he's thinking he can trick and fool him? God's not going to give Elisha the knowledge of what he just did? He's able to do all these other things, but he can't. He's deceived. He's deceived by his own worldly, carnal, in opposition to God mind. We can be a Gehazi as easily as he was. And never see. Here I am, Lord, reporting for duty. Oh, I need to give 10% because the Old Testament says it. Oh, I need to do that? Okay, here's my goods to feed the poor. Here's this, reporting for duty. Here I am, carnal, worldly. Here I am. When we look at what a carnal man is, we just go back to the Garden of Eden. We think of Adam and Eve in the garden, innocent. They were in communion with their Lord. He came and communed with them, it tells us, in the cool of the day. They were innocent. They had a choice. They had a will that was given to them. They could choose to serve him or choose to serve the serpent. They had a choice. They chose to serve the Lord. And they communed with him. They enjoyed all the beauty of fellowship with him. You know, we see from the beginning in those first few chapters and throughout the Bible, we see a cursed earth in action. We see things, sin in every describable and undescribable way being shown throughout the pages of history. And even the history of the Bible in its past is finished and completed, we look forward from that time up until this very day, and we see the evil heart of man, a carnal mind in opposition to its Creator. So Adam stood before his Creator, the one who gives him life, the one who gives him breath, heartbeats, everything is given. He sustains him. He fed him. He gave him everything, just like we do today. This is who our God is. He gives me the very... It's by his grace and his grace alone that we are all here today. That's it. Nothing that we did, nothing good, nothing, oh, I avoided this. It's by his grace that we are here. Could have had a massive heart attack overnight. And you just hear, oh, he's gone. But God gave us, it doesn't matter about your age either. Young people die, old people die. But his grace, his mercy, because he is a God of mercy and a God of love. He looks at us and he loves us. And he says, don't be carnally minded. It's death. It's death. I'm giving you life. Take it. God, it tells us here that he sent his son in the flesh to die for our sins. So that his love would be shown to us, so that we know who he is, and that we would love him and serve him. And Adam looked at his Creator, and it's no different than we are today. Because I know we look at the story of Adam and Eve and say, how could they have? Only if they didn't. How could they have? How would the world have gone since then? We don't know. But we know, what we do know, is it was heaven. They were with their Lord. Isn't that what heaven is? Being with Him eternally? We look at our Lord as Adam did, and we make a choice. Okay, here's the one, the very reason I am breathing right now. He's looking at me and telling me, look up on the cross. Look on the cross. I am the only way. I am the only way. I'll give you life. And we look at him and say, no, maybe tomorrow. As if tomorrow is going to come. So we're going to say, no, I don't want to listen to you, but I think you're going to still, because you love me, you're going to just give me another day. I think because of that, you're going to give me another day. And then maybe another day, and a week will go by, and a month will go by, and a year goes by, and a decade goes by, and we just go on and on, right? A brother who gave his life late, when I say late, it was 50s. He didn't know why. He waited so long. And what that means is there's nothing there. The things that keep you away, my dear friend, there's nothing there. When you enjoy fellowship with your Lord, when you enjoy communion with Him as Adam did, there's nothing that you've left behind that you will desire. I don't know why anything held me back. But that's to be spiritually minded, as we are urged in this chapter to be. We can't walk after the flesh, it tells us, but after the Spirit. To walk after the Spirit, dear ones, is to walk after the Lord Himself, God Himself. Jesus said, I will send my Spirit so that He can direct you into all truths. Who is He going to point us to? He's going to point us to Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. And so, when Jesus shows us His life, His manner of life as He lived it here upon this earth, it's not something that a carnal man is desirous of. I have to take a loss all the time. I have to take a loss all the time. So even if someone displays something to me, perhaps even superiority over me, and I know I'm better than him, I know I am, I got to take a loss. Just that thought, you've already lost spiritually. Just that thought, you've already lost spiritually. So even if you can hide that and pretend like you're not, and you don't respond in escalation, you've already lost. Because it's the Spirit. It's who you really are. It's your soul. It's who you are. You've not been regenerated. Because to be regenerated is to be born again. It's the only way. We can't stress it enough, because the Bible stresses that. You must be born again. We heard that on Wednesday. The must. You must be born again. Leave it all behind. Nothing is worth it. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. You want to be at war with the one who gives you your life. Imagine that. You can't even imagine that in a visible setting that our eyes can see. Someone who is doing something That the very reason you're existing is because of him or her, and you're going to be in opposition. You can't even wrap your mind around that, right? We can't even go there. And yet, when we disobey God, when we walk according to our own lusts, our own desires, that's exactly what we are doing. It says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, through how? Through my own will. Okay, I will quit smoking right now. That's it. Many, many people who don't know Christ quit smoking. That's not the answer. You don't overcome your sin through will. I will no longer do this or no longer do that. You've lost. That's exactly where Satan wants you. He says, through the Spirit mortify, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Live. To live is peace with God. To have peace with God and peace with man. Brothers and sisters, think about that. The only odds that I should ever have, or the only, to be at odds with anyone, the only way it can be is if they simply don't like you. But when they're asked why, what, they have to, you have to invent something. You have to think of something. You become a Gehazi. You're inventing something. You have to create something. But you cannot be at odds with man. Because Jesus says, if you go to the altar to give your sacrifice and you remember that your brother has something against you, stop. Leave your gift. Put it aside. Don't give me your prayers. Because you have a problem and you don't want to overcome it. So what do you want from me? You have an issue that you do not want. You're going to say, oh, let him come to me. No. He says, go and make peace. Go and make peace. Why? Because a servant of God cannot be at odds and escalating arguments and so on. You can't have peace with God and not have peace with man. So as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all man. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, what is it that lies within me? I'm going to leave my gift at the altar and I'm going to go and make peace. That's what lies within me. That's simple. That's all that Jesus says. Ask for forgiveness. Ask. I'm sorry. And if he doesn't want to forgive you, it's his. If he still wants to hold something against you, it's on him. As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. He says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the body is dead. The flesh is overcome. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So think about that now. If I am of the flesh, I mind the things of the flesh. The things that Jesus says, take no thought for. Those are Jesus' words. Take no thought for the morrow. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. We have a sin nature that we are born with. You know, you can raise your child. You can have a set of parents that decide, we will be so careful not to ever do anything, to not expose this child to anything wrong. They're born with a sin nature. You never teach a child how to lie. A child doesn't have a sense of something that is of value. Did you do this? No, no. Who taught that child to say no, to lie? Who taught that child? Sin nature. It must be eradicated. And the only process, the only means is at the cross. The place, brothers, sisters, but dear friends, that no one wants to go. But with eyes of faith upon the one who loves us, who gives us offering life and peace. When we look at him, when we have put our eyes upon him and we believe, then he gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need. He gives us strength. He opens our eyes of understanding to who he is. He gives us comfort in times of great need, in times of great oppression. He gives us himself. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the prophet Isaiah tells us it says, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. This is the one who we are in opposition to if we are carnally minded. The one who formed the earth, the universes, everything that you can't even see and imagine is out there. He holds it in the pillars of his word. It's him. He says, he hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited by you and me. And he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. So, my dear friends, I am the Lord. There is none else. I formed everything. I give life to everything that breathes. I give life to it. Though that child is born with the sin nature, he can change. A crocodile, I heard, when he is born, he hatches. When he is hatched out of his egg, his mouth is already open in attack mode. It's his nature. It's who he is. He can't change. He can't change. It's who he is. A child can. But it's only through Jesus. It's only through dying to self. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I didn't speak in secret in a dark place of the earth. I am not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Isn't that what Satan would tell us? If you seek him, you're seeking him in vain, because you're still going to have a hard life. This, you know, we like to associate the blessings of life itself, of health, and the possessions of things as a blessing from God, that absent from those things, God forgot about us. He says, I didn't tell you in vain. I didn't speak it in vain. I did not say to Jacob that you should seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That's the law of God. That's perfect. When we are in opposition to him, we are saying, Lord, your law, yeah, it needs a little bit of tweaking. It needs a little bit of me to fix what you don't know. That's what disobedience does to him. Gehazi said to Elisha, come on, you don't know. We need this. We need this. And he says, and he continues here, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. He says, ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto God that cannot save. Gehazi was praying unto God that could not save. Because his adoration, his life was in the possession of things. That's what his focus was on. The things that Paul said, I have to get rid of them in order that I may know him. He says, tell you. He goes on. He's mocking these images. Tell you and bring them near me. Let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from ancient time? Who had told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God, he repeats. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. A just God who will give us that, what we only deserve. When a child is born and he begins to lie and he begins to cheat and he continues in growing in that and looks at the Savior and says, no. He's not a Savior. He's a just God. And when you go to him in the judgment day, he's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I'm not your Savior. You didn't want me. It's not right for you to be here. You don't belong. You don't want me. You can't come here. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Again, he said, there's none beside me. Look unto me, he says. This is what we need to take with us. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. Again, that's it. We will choose him today, or we will be in opposition to him. We will either die to ourselves, die to our sin, die to the world, die to the carnal thoughts, the lusts, and various things that overrun us and overrun us entirely. Or we will be saved. Be ye saved, he says. Look unto me. May God bless his word upon our hearts, dear ones, that as we look upon him, that we see a just God, that we see a Savior. We see one who is righteous, and every word that he speaks is right. We see a God who loves us and gave himself for us. We see a God who by his mercy alone, we are even here. And what was it for? What is this day for? What will it end up being to me and to you? Look unto me. God is pleading to you, my dear friend, and to all of us, brothers and sisters, who have made a covenant with him, who have promised obedience and faithfulness and love for him. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It fulfills everything because God is love. And we become partakers of his nature when we submit unto him. Imagine, that's what Peter tells us, that we take on that divine nature of God. And it is that divine nature alone that can love you or love someone when they hate you. It is only God that can do that. You can't do that. You can't will yourself to do it. You can will yourself to not react, but you can't will yourself to love someone who hates you and wants to destroy you. But in submission unto God, he gives you that nature. And he rules within your heart. And you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, which is my desire for each one of us. Amen.